Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Bellingham podcast. We hope this message will be informative, inspirational, and helpful. Donations to support this work are greatly appreciated. Visit www.cslbellingham.org and click on the donate button. Remember to share our podcast. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Leo Brody. I'm a practitioner. I'm a practitioner here, and I'm the practitioner of the day in your service. Anybody who's wearing a stole is here to serve you if you need prayer or anything like that, or if you have just questions. My ancestors hail from Ireland and France, and my pronouns are he and him. So, I have the honor now to do the morning prayer. Okay, so let's just turn within to know that Spirit is always inside of us. Spirit is also, we are Spirit, and Spirit is always here, present, not only in the room, but in our hearts and minds, because we are of Spirit. So whatever's going on in the world and whatever's going on in our brains and what seems to be strife and struggle and craziness in the world, we know and we believe that that's not reality. That's what seems to be reality. That's what they call reality. But the real truth of who we are is that we're divine. The ground truth of our existence is the Spirit that lives in all of us, in each one of us. And we can always lean into that anytime that we feel lost or confused. And I know that there's an illumination, and I call that illumination into our lives, that illuminates the darkness, that illuminates the confusion, that helps us to see who we really are and who our neighbors really are. They're not enemies. And so it's with profound gratitude that I welcome this service today, knowing that the talk is going to be great, the music is already wonderful. So sit back and enjoy, and so it is.
Hi, I'm Reverend Don Beatty, as you've heard already. My folks come from somewhere in North Carolina. And if you hadn't figured that part, that's in the South. And my pronouns are he and him. And I honor that we can do that now, that we can share that kind of information that we choose to share. We've decided to share where we're from, who we are, in a positive way, in a way that invites connection. And I'm just grateful every time I see that in our journeys and in our communities and other places that I go. We've been singing about peace and love and source and all that kind of good stuff. My intention is to make a little uncomfortable this morning. I mean, after all, you got up an hour earlier than you ever wanted to. And so why should it just come in and just be, oh, it's so nice. And it's not, because I'm still sleeping in my mind. So we may do that. There may be that. I'm just going ahead and warning you up front. Sometimes I do discontent. It's a fun thing to do. It's one of my values, really. So you know where we're going in case you want to make your phone ring and have to leave. Here's the plan. My point is that we are all powerful deciders. Raymond Charles Barker, the book, Power of Decision, changed my life. I'm teaching that course this summer online via CSL Seattle, just in case anybody's interested. But we're going to talk about the power of decision and how we are already powerful deciders. That's the point. Problem is, we're all in human bodies, in a human world, in a human condition, and dealing with humans. That adds a little extra something, sauce, something to being on this planet. Because we have to share. We have to get along. We have other things going on. We have everything that's been built into us over millenniums, long, really long times. And that's okay. Being human is one of the requirements to be here on this planet. And it's a package deal. The good news, we're good deciders. So we can choose some of the package and not choose the rest of the package, okay? And then the plan, I've got some ideas about how we can recognize how good we are at being deciders and things that can help us in spiritual practices and other ways to use that power that we have been imbued with, divine free will, divine power of decision that we can use for the lives that we want to live and thrive in. Still here. That's good. We're on our way. And we're on our way because Reverend Abigail did such a good job last week. Thank you, Abigail, setting me up so well. Hopefully I won't mess it up. And I don't know about who's coming next, but it's probably you. And yeah, there'll be some things to work with after I finish. So I'll do my part. But she did such a good job about the whole theme for the month. What if? What if? Those two words, and there's another two words I'm going to bring in later, but what if is a real power statement. And I'm going to try and prove that to you here in just a little bit. But she brought in compassion about the what if, curiosity about the what if. She brought us into the realm of awareness that there is a what if and that we have a part to play in the idea of what if and bringing whatever we put after that into this world. So she said, I'm just so grateful that it's been set up so well that we can make this journey from inner work. If you read my talk title, I talked about we do our inner work on ourselves. We do whatever we need to in our spiritual journey. We're looking to understand who we are and what we bring, what are our unique gifts and talents. We do that work. But then we got to get up off the meditation cushion and then we get to go out into the real world. And that's today. We're going to talk about moving into the real world. So let's just start with deciders. Anybody spend the night here last night? Here. Yeah.
Like, not to.
She decided not to. See, she's a good decider. So may I assume then that every one of you was somewhere else and that you decided that you were going to come to the center today even though you lost an hour of sleep and you drove here, got here somehow. So far everybody I've seen is fully clothed and looks presentable. So you have made a huge number of decisions all morning long already. You're well on your way to your daily quota of 35,000. You gave a millions number last week about stuff. I'm just sticking at 35,000. I'm trying to be a little more manageable. But somebody said that's about what we do every day, 35,000 decisions. Someday I think I've done that by like noon. Other days, I don't feel like I've done any. It's just decisions are such an interesting thing to play with. And it's one of my values. The self-determination is like my number one value. I live for self-determination. I love it. I will make it for you if you let me. But I've learned that that's not why I have self-determination. It's also part of me allowing you and supporting you in your self-determination journey. But I find it, I could be here for a long time talking about that, but Abigail gave me a time limit, so we'll keep moving. But in deciding, so let's play with the idea of deciding. So we talked about you managed to get here today. Those are all decisions. You drove here and don't remember your drive. Don't lie to me. I know you don't remember your drive because you do it all the time. Our brain is on automatic. I've tried to remember my drive. And the only chance I have is if it's a drive I've done like every day for a long time, my commute. I can remember my commute because if there's anything different, the brain notices. So that's the only times that I can truly say I can remember something I do that regularly, if there's something different. Because then the brain does this little amygdala thing and goes, warning, warning, something different. Pay attention. Burn calories. Do something. You're danger, Will Robinson. That whole thing comes off. And that's the only time that I get to, you know, recognize that I made a different decision, that I went around the bus instead of running through the bus. It's things like that that we notice because it's different. It's not allowing our brain to simply go on autopilot. With human beings, us, anybody have a decision-making class when they were growing up? This is what I thought. Mine was a real short class. It was, you know, my dad saying, don't do stupid things. Usually right after I had done a somewhat questionable thing. I was told somewhere along the way, use logic. Sounds good. Do you take a logic class? I did that in college. Logic, what we say and what is logic is not the same logic. And so it's we just really, basically, like most humans, we learn decision-making by trial and error. And that's okay when we recognize that I'm learning by doing, and that means, you know, I'm going to make some mistakes. Unfortunately, our culture will tend to take that mistake. They won't even wrap it in a nice cushion, just pound you on the head with it, saying, you just screwed up. You made bad decisions. That would get a lot. We got a culture that doesn't celebrate our good decisions nearly as much as it does the things that we would rather not celebrate, the challenging decisions. But that's the whole human journey. That's what I said. There's a problem with decision making is the whole human journey is about looking for what's wrong, what's different. It's how we survived all these millenniums. Because if you look around, there's no reason for us to be on this planet given our innate tools. No claws, not really good teeth, and we're not that fast. Well, few of us are, but not that fast. So we have other tools that we're using, but we don't always get to recognize them. And it's, you know, our creative thought and our power of decision is one of them. But unfortunately, because the consequences of bad decisions are so harsh, we give that the most weight. It's culture. It's a judgment. It's something that we choose not to get hooked into. And that's where we're going to be moving in that direction in a little bit. So, but let's just talk about a decision you made today. You pick one. Is there a decision you made that you don't like today? You wish you'd have picked a different shirt, a different color, maybe even stayed home. And that's okay, because that's one of the ways to evaluate decisions as you're looking at building up to what we're going to talk about with the what ifs, is recognize that decisions inherently are not necessarily good or bad. They are just decisions. Now we will get the chance to say, do I like the result of this decision? Do I not like the result of this decision? That is coming more from a place of information and analysis. We get to make our own decisions and we get to live the consequences of those decisions. But we also then get to evaluate if those consequences are telling us to make a new decision or to keep going in that direction. By listening to the results of our decisions and feeling into it, we get a chance to evaluate our own decisions, because we are the best evaluators of our own decisions, except when we're not. There are times that we are not the best. But most of the time, we know if we've stepped in something or not. And so we honor that like and not like, because the beauty of decisions is, well, this morning I missed the step on the way up here. It wasn't on purpose. I didn't make that choice as a decision, but it happened. It gave me a chance to, one, make a joke, and then, two, come back and say, all righty, use the stairs next time this morning. Just don't go someplace that didn't work. And so you get to learn from our decisions. We get to decide if we like them or not, if they're moving in the direction of what we're wanting to experience. And then we always get to make another decision. If you will check, you can read almost, you can, I think any holy book I've ever read has never said there was a limit on decisions. They just say, you've got free will, you get to make decisions, have at it. So I think it's our divine urge that says, make lots of decisions. That's what you're here for. Try things, experiment things, learn stuff by trial and error. Build up your resources, your ideas of what's possible, and your understanding of who you are by how your decisions turn out. And just play with them. Allow them to show up in different ways. Look at them as evidence, as information, not as misbehaving, but just, hey, I tried to squeeze through that spot. Nope, that was a bad idea. Usually I do that with me, my size, and thinking I can slip through behind somebody, and it's really not that big a spot. So, but then we have a mechanism for that. It's called, oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. And I get to move on and learn again that my eyes aren't what they used to be. So in cultural, we have a lot of things that kind of challenge us with decisions. For example, old dogs, new tricks. What's that mean? You're old, I'm old, you're not going to learn anything new. You just need to get along with however you are, what you know now, and be happy that you lasted this long. I choose to object to that term, old dogs and new tricks. So that's what this old dog has done recently in the last few years. He decided to go to ministerial school shortly after he had gotten married. She did not know she was going to be marrying a minister. She has resolved the decision that decision, and we're doing just fine. I also decided that after some 60 years or plus of singing in my car to myself, that I wanted to sing with other people. And so I made the decision at Seebeck a couple of years ago, our CSL's church camp over on Seebeck. I want to sing, and somebody had told me, if you want to sing, sing. And so Seebeck choir is, y'all come, so you don't have to pass any tests or anything. So I went, and I joined the CSL Seebeck choir and loved it. It was fun. It was a community. We laughed a lot. We screwed up a lot. Thank you. And after Seebeck, I took a couple of big, deep breaths and went to our choir director and said, I'd like to join the choir. For real. And she said, well, you got to come early one day and we'll do a test. And I was like deer in the headlights. Look, but I did. And for whatever reason, maybe because there weren't many basses and lower tenors, but I passed. And I've now been singing in that choir, what, since 24? Yeah, it's been a while, 24. And I have no musical training. And yet, with the choir and the community and the support that's in a community aligned around the good, around something like that, I get all kinds of support. I can make mistakes and they just go, it's okay. You know, that note means do this. I get to learn stuff. I'm welcome for my humanness and who I am and for doing the best I can into that community. I've learned new tricks. You can too. It was a decision, answering a call, taking a chance, paying attention, revisiting the decision. There have been days I've really revisited the choir thing because I just don't get it sometimes. But my team, the rest of the group, we find it. It's just too much fun to be in that community. Ministry, some days, yeah. Any minister who says they never have a second guess is lying. But we have those days. We're human. There are days it's like, okay, why did I, you know, divine, remind me why we're on this journey is a perfectly good question to ask. But here's the real reason, here's the real thing I want to say. What if, with curiosity, is two words of real power? When you say, what if, and whatever you put after that, when you say that with curiosity, you're telling the divine to say, to come back to you and answer that what if, to reply. It is a command into the spiritual law. What if I am a good singer? An alien concept, mostly until I had a little support and some reminders from actually some others that said, you use your voice all the time speaking. You're just going to do it with music. And it was just, it's just understanding what I'm up to. So the what if, when we use that, and with a little curiosity and from some intentionality, we are telling Spirit that we think this is a good, that we want to know more. We want to do this. Because in our decision process, we can say, what if I'm a good singer? Check in and know where that came from inside of me. And then say, okay, another decision. I really am going to go to choir practice. I'm going to try out. And make the next decision. Every day we make a whole lot of decisions. Be aware of the decisions so that you're making the ones that you want. I am is across the world and all spiritualities is a statement, a power statement. When we say I am the divine, when I am joy, we are telling Spirit, we are telling the divine, this is who I am, and this is telling myself, this is who I am. And so that's what I stand in. It's my part of my morning practice. I've got a litany I go through of things, including like I am business. I am divine business. It's everything. And what I realize when we do, what if I am a singer, is curiosity calling on the divine and a command, I am a singer, to the divine. We're taking four words, putting them together and amping and multiplying the power of our word. That's the gift of this month and the what if question, is that we can use our words in a high and holy way to get us in the direction that we're going, and to be able to make those choices freely, to not judge ourselves, but to say, okay, if this is the answer to that declaration or to this decision, to this what if, this is what I'm getting back, and I don't like it, doesn't mean I misbehave. It just means let's go back and revisit what we had in the way of expectations. I thought doing this would be ta-da! And it's not. But is it maybe better? And I think my choir experience is one of those, it's better than if I had, than what I expected, and entirely different. My last little story here to bring it home is I've been doing affordable housing, creating, preserving affordable housing across the country since 1992, well, actually 1989. Really long time. In an industry in its infancy that grew, became real, where we were doing a lot of good, creating housing in rural America, did some here in Washington, across the country. And then industries, if you ever watched papers or read, watch industries evolve. And so I've always had to come back and say, do I want to keep doing this? This industry's gotten weird again. We're going through another recession. What I've learned is that I can always make the decision again. I can choose again. I can do what I need to find my next steps, including, most recently, throwing what we call a fleece before the Lord. It's okay, God, I've got this opportunity in my tax credit business, the low-income housing business. We can do this, but it's going to take a lot of energy. I'm willing to do it, but I'm not going to do it if it's not going to work. And so I sent a proposal off to what we wanted to do. And my deal with God was, if they're interested, we're going to go for it. And so I'm going to need a response. Sometimes the response is crickets. And that's what I got. They couldn't get a response. It's the industry, they were not interested. And I just went back to the vine and said, okay, then we're going to take the other fork in the road, and we'll see where that one goes. And that one's been opening up in just amazing ways. And honestly, there were days that I said, really? I can't. This is such a good idea, this project and stuff. Why wouldn't they want to do it? It checks all the boxes. I'm human. I got to try. See if God will change its mind. Or change my mind. And that's what the divine did for me. So I leave you with some guidance, because it's just what I like to do. In going the directions of your what if or your decisions, small steps. That's all required. It's moving in the direction of your good. It doesn't say running. It doesn't say leaping. It just says moving. So take what you're comfortable with. One step. Check again. Another step. Keep checking. And as you keep moving in that direction, and the nudge becomes a pull, your steps will naturally evolve to support that answer, support that which you are looking for. When you don't know where to step, when you don't know what to do, your head's spinning in circles, go for a walk. Go find a tree. Go find something living. Just go for a walk. And separate your brain and your body and your mind from whatever it is that you're wrapped around. I do that. I mean, I take it to an extreme. I turn everything off and go for a walk around the building outside. So I completely reset my human self and come back so that I can truly can take a fresh look. And that's what I need to do in order to get myself back to a good place, to use my self-determination, to listen to the divine who's supposed to be telling me what's my most important thing next, to hear that and then take that next step. And the final one to consider, if you're wrapped around a decision, and all of us are at some point, you can always, what I found, and they can't get here before I finish, so I'll be all right. I found that you can take one thing out of a decision matrix and suddenly things will make sense. Costco tires, Les Schwab tires, both selling good tires. Little bit of price difference between them, right? Anybody besides me ever agonized over a little price difference? And finally I said, dude, just take money out of the equation. Where would you go? Les Schwab. They're everywhere. They take care of you whether you sold them, sold them to you or not. They're just a company you want to work with. I've never had a bad experience at Les Schwab. It was easy. That price difference wasn't worth losing that. So don't, if you feel yourself wound up, there are things to do. You can get help from a trusted friend. We got practitioners here that will pray with you. You've got ministers here that will pray with you. You've got friends that will support you. Choose wisely. And always just think, I can do one step. Or I can take something out to get a fresh perspective and let the divine and create space for the divine to move within me and nudge me in the right direction toward the what if that I want to experience. Have fun. Play with it. You can't go wrong. And if you do, somebody will tell you. And you can thank them, bless them, and move on. And together we say, and so it is. Am I supposed to pray now? Okay. Okay. Got to do the prayer. Okay. So let's. But this time we're going to, for the prayer, I invite, you're free to close your eyes, but I invite you to tilt your head up a little bit. To look, let your eyes look up a little bit. And take a deep breath in. For we call upon the one mind, the one life, that one presence, to the hills that are representing that one mind and life, to draw upon that energy to call into our lives for the inspirations, for the support, for what we need to live fully, to live the what if. We want to speak into the law, to know that that law receives that what if from us, that it receives our decisions and says yes and amen, and allows us to move in step with ourselves and with the divine law. For the law offers no judgment. The law simply says yes, and then next, and then the next. So we call upon that infinite awareness and love and support that is the law, that is the divine, that is this community, that is showing up everywhere around us. And allow that move us in the direction of our good, direction of our dreams, the direction of a life and a world that works for everyone. And if you like that idea, say with me, and so it is. Thank you.